All right, you can be seated. Thank you for being here tonight, and I'm excited to have Brother Bob Hamlin speak for us tonight. We had him booked 2 years ago, and you would have met him then, but he had health issues and had to cancel, ended up in the hospital during that time. And I was going to try to have him the next year, but we had everything. The schedule was already set with speakers, so we had to jump to this year, and I'm glad he's able to be with us. He is 75 years of age now, been preaching for 49 years. And, you know, he's battling a whole series of things. He has diabetes and congestive heart failure and spinal stenosis and cancer. And battling all of that and still preaching every opportunity that he has. This past December, he was in hospice. And you know you're tough if hospice can't kill you. But he had to have some fire in his soul and be determined. And the Lord had to do some things for him, too, supernaturally. And I'm thankful to God that he's able to be here. I've known him for a number of years. I met him when he was pastoring in Ephrata. And I was preaching in the Harrisburg area. Actually, I'm trying to remember, York. And he came to the meeting, and he booked me, and then he resigned and left before I got there. Some people do anything to keep him having me. But anyway, he went into evangelism and has done a great job there. Lord used him mightily. And I know a bunch of men in Indiana that he has had a tremendous impact on. One of them's in Pennsylvania now, Tom Fry. And Tom Fry loves you to death, brother, and he just every time he talks about you, he gets excited about it, and he tears up whenever he thinks about what you've had as an impact on his life. But I'm thrilled to have him tonight, and he'll be our first speaker. But before he speaks, we're going to have a special, and the Castles will do that. But we had a special presentation for you, brother, the Perpetual Fire Award, and I think in light of the things I've already said, I don't need to say a whole lot more about the fire that burns in your soul. You could lay down, you could quit, you could decide that you're not going to attempt it anymore. But the desire, I don't know about you, but these guys that just keep on going, no matter what, are an inspiration to me. I'm no spring chicken, but I'm telling you, when I watch these fellas and the things they're battling and just continue, it inspires me, it stirs me up, makes me want to do something for God. And I am thankful for your influence, appreciate your friendship, brother. And I'm not going to ask you to come over here on a separate trip. I'm going to walk this over to you. But the Perpetual Fire Award, God bless you, buddy. Yeah. You earned it. Amen.
Of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest.
Yeah.
time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call. God's love so sure shall still endure all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and ocean filled, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of our God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and
I tell you what, that's better than good. That middle one wasn't his daughter. Can you hear me all right? How many can hear me? Can I see your hands? How many cannot hear me? Could I see your hands? How many wouldn't raise your hand no matter what I ask? Could I see your hands? I figured Melanie would raise his hand. Well, there are several reasons why I'm glad to be here. Remember old Dr. Lakin? When he's up in his 80s, last few years he preached, he'd get up and he'd say, "Well, I'm glad to be here. At my age, I'm glad to be anywhere." But there are just some special places that you look forward to. And I've been looking forward to being here for quite some time. I preached across the state line over there for a fellow by the name of Mike Poole over in Highland. And he told me, he said, "Brother Angel has a happy church." And I like that. If there's a segment of society that ought to have some rejoicing about them and ought to be able to be happy no matter what's going on, it ought to be born-again Christians. Amen. So I wanted to come see for myself. So I saw that. And I just thank you for the privilege, Brother Coral and Brother Angel. I love Brother Coral. And Another reason why I'm glad to be in this meeting is normally everywhere I go, I'm the old man. And usually I've been preaching longer than anybody else. But did I hear right, Dr. Wallace, you said you've been preaching 65 years, 68 years. You started preaching when I was 7 years old. And we're quite good friends, Dr. Wallace and I. We go back a long way. And then Dr. Smith, he said he's been preaching 55 years. I've only been preaching 49. Denny Maloney, of course, you never know whether he's telling the truth or not, but Maloney told me that he'd been preaching for 50 years. Isn't that what you said? Were you telling the truth? Okay, it was one of those Maloney fantasies. These guys are good friends of mine. So here, but the one thing that bugs me about that, they're older than me and been preaching longer than me, but they look younger than me. My wife says, walk like I'm 85, talk like I'm 95. But so be it. At least I'm happy in the Lord. And I've learned the lesson over and over again. This body doesn't belong to me anyway. It belongs to God. And whatever He wants to do with it, that's up to Him. We called the family in. I didn't. The doctors did. Back in December, they said he's not going to see daylight. He's going to be gone before the sun comes up. And so the family gathered, kids from Pennsylvania and West Virginia. Got a grandson that runs Randy Taylor's camp for him down there. Him and his family came, and others came. And I made one of the most stupid statements I've ever made. I told him, I said, now when I go, I don't want anybody crying. That's pretty stupid. And I said, we've got the funeral all laid out, every song, every special, every preacher that's going to preach. And I even told my son-in-law what message to preach. I said, it's all laid out. So I don't want it to be a funeral dirge. I don't know if I like the term celebration of life, but I like that better than funeral. But one of two things happened. Either I died and my body refused to accept the verdict, or those doctors didn't talk to the great physician, because I'm still here. There's some things I can't do anymore. I used to like to run the aisles and preach, and sometimes stand up on the front pew and spit all over the first three rows and shout it out. Most of that's gone. I don't think I can spit past the altar now. I'm just a shell physically. And the only thing about that bothers me is I've been reduced to talking like a monotone. I'm afraid of putting people to sleep. And that's something that they've never accused me of. all those years. So if I can't keep you awake and you want to go ahead and sleep, go ahead. But please try not to snore. Because you can snore louder than I can preach. And the truth of the matter is, I didn't come up here to hear myself preach. And if you're sitting beside somebody that goes to sleep, just take that songbook. That songbook's good for a lot of things. It's the best one on the market, by the way. But just slap them upside the head with that songbook. Wake them up. Because I do want people to hear. And I say this in all seriousness. Sometimes my voice trails off. And if I get so low that you can't hear me, somebody wave at me so that I can try to gear it up a notch. Because I do want to be a help to you folk. And I'm overwhelmed at this wonderful opportunity. A few years ago, a little over 2 years ago, I had been through some physical battles and had been shut down for several months. And when I was able to get back out on the road again, some of this stuff embarrasses me, but I have to do it. They tell me if I don't wear this, I can't breathe. So I said, what are the options? And they said, none. So I just put up with it. So then when I got back out on the road, everywhere I went, I had thousands of people telling me that they were praying for me to be healed. And I honestly believe that's why I'm still going today. And many of you can say the same thing. And but I got under conviction about it. And I got to thinking, I think it's right to pray for people to be healed. I'm not talking about faith healers. I'm just talking about James chapter 5. So I think it's right. But I asked people to start praying for me. A more important reason than my physical health. I asked people to pray for me that I'd be faithful to Him to my dying breath. I don't want to be a casualty. I don't want to be a has-been. I don't want to drift away. I don't buy this business that preachers ought to retire when they're 65 and go fishing or golfing. I don't buy that at all. You didn't ever convince Moses of that. And so I just want to be faithful. I don't have any empires to build. I don't have any more mountains to climb. I just want to preach. I just want to help people. And I want to be faithful. And my goal in life is this. When I cross over, I don't think I'm going to stand before Jesus and shake His hand. I believe we'll fall at His feet. And I mean this with every fiber of my being. My goal in life is to hear Jesus say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." They sing a song. I don't know where that singer, I hear it down south some. I don't know much about the song, but there's one line in that song that I really like. He gave me my first breath. I'll give Him my last. I'll tell you, I like that. Amen. And I want to be faithful. I've preached a good number of times, still preach for some of his boys. One of Dr. Wallace's preaching boys, Pat Creed Sr. He's over just south of Washington, D.C. He was still pastoring the church. He told me one time, he said, you know, he said, I thought that the older I got in the ministry, the easier it would be to be able to hold the line on my standards and convictions. He said, I found just the opposite is true. It's tougher. The battle is still raging. And a lot of people have, a lot of fellows have just thrown in the towel. One of my good friends a few years ago made a change. I talked to him on the phone. He said, are you going to cuss me out? I said, well, I won't cuss you out. If somebody writes it out, I might sign it. Well, he said, I'm going to tell you why I changed. He said, I was tired of being the bad guy in my community. But I'm going to tell you something. We shouldn't let the community be the judge of our ministry. No, sir. Oh, how's that going to look when you kneel before the Lord? No, I like this crowd. I like the crowd that's going to stay by this stuff. I'm just an old country boy. I'm an old-time, independent, separated, soul-winning, fundamental, premillennial, missionary-minded, fried chicken-eating, peach pie-loving, coffee-drinking Baptist. Now, you can't get any more fundamental than that. And I didn't say decaf. That word needs to be relegated to the livestock farm. When a cow has a calf, she's decaffeinated. Don't try to mix that in with something that's sacred and holy. It's coffee. But in all seriousness, I want to be faithful. Open your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 4. No, I didn't tell you right. It's 1 Corinthians, chapter 4. I wasn't too far off. There's some allowances you have to make. Just take notes. You're going to get old. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. That's what we are. We're stewards. What we call our own doesn't really belong to us. It belongs to God. Amen. Verse 2 says, moreover, is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, this is going to knock the stripe off your candy. You're supposed to laugh at that. Come on. It gets you to do like old Curtis used to do when you pull it on his ear. That's when you're supposed to laugh, you know. God's not impressed with your looks. We are. That's why we have so many mirrors in the house. You know. God's not impressed with our abilities. God's not impressed with our talents. If we've got any, where'd we get it? Got it from God. No, I'll tell you what God's interested in. He's interested in us being faithful. I was pastoring a church 60 miles west of Philadelphia. Dr. Wallace has been there to preach for me. Preached a great mission conference. We had a young couple move into our area. They had transferred their membership from another independent Baptist church. Too far for them to travel anymore. So they were a sweet couple. Had a couple little youngins. So I met with him one day. Met with one of them, just talking with them and asking them what they'd done at the other church. He'd been a deacon, and I said, "Well, do you do anything else in kind of service, teach or sing or anything?" "Oh," she said, "I sing." She said, "I performed every Sunday." I said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear that." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "We're not entertainers here. We don't perform. We serve." She got the message. She never performed one time. But she did serve. See, that's what God's wanting. He's wanting you and me to be faithful. He wants us to be faithful to our dying breath. He gave me my first breath. I'll give him my last. Turn over to the book of Revelation chapter 2. That young fellow preached that great message this morning. He went to Revelation chapter 2. I was about to throw a songbook at him. So he's going to get in there and mess me up. But he didn't. He left it alone. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8. "Then the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich." Now, wait a minute. First, he tells us we're poor, but then it says we're rich. How can you be poor and rich at the same time? I got a whole slew of doctors. The more I learn about doctors, the more I know, the less they know. Well, I wondered about that thing about doctor's practice, you know. So, I was in my oncologist. That's a big 50-cent word I just throw in there. Let you know I've been to college. But if I didn't tell you, you wouldn't be able to figure it out. I said to him one day, I said, "Doc, you know, we're both ministers." He said, "How's that?" I said, "Well, the word minister isn't, the word means to serve, and it's not just limited to Christian service. It's in politics, you know, the minister of labor, minister of this or that." I said, "You serve, I serve, we serve people." He said, "Well, yeah, but I make a lot more money than you do." I said, "Yeah, but I got a better retirement program." I said, "What you deal with is temporal. You're dealing with an old physical body that's one day going to be gone. But I deal with people's souls, and they're eternal." Amen. So we may not have much down here. What we do on Sunday and Saturdays and through the week, we're not going to get written up. You got to be a nut like Denny Mallon if you get the news people to come out and talk to you. You know. And now I say that in love. We're old friends. At least we were till tonight. We'll see how far I can push that friendship. But I'll tell you where you are noticed. You're noticed in heaven. Amen. And there's a record being kept. And our retirement is not just for a few years. It's forever. Hallelujah. So I'm kind of looking forward to that, aren't you? He said, I know their poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them, which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. That's what I want. I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He gave me my first breath. I'll give him my last. Look over in Revelation, I think it's Revelation 12. There's a testimony. It's going to take place during the tribulation period. And by the way, just in case you don't know, I'm not sticking around for the tribulation period. Not even part of it. Stay if you want to. I'm going on home. Amen. A lot of foolishness going on out there. Here's the testimony. Multitudes of people are going to be saved during the tribulation period. They're going to die. Look at verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Amen. They were faithful to their dying breath. I'm thinking tonight of Peter. The night of the Passion of Christ, he said to the disciples, you're all going to forsake me. Peter said, not me, Lord. If I have to die with thee, I will not deny thee. So said all the disciples. But what happened a few minutes later? They all forsook him and fled. Well, God zeroed in on Peter. You know the story. 3 times, somebody said to him, "said we know you're a follower of Jesus." All 3 times he denied it. 3rd time he started cussing. That's bad for a believer. Why? Why didn't he live up to his commitment? Said just a few hours before that, if I have to die with thee, I'll not deny thee. And he turns right around 3 times. He denies the Lord. I'll tell you why. And thank God he got right. That means there's hope for you and me. But at that point, he loved his own life more than he did Jesus. Huh? They loved not their lives unto death. You know, God had Paul write some of his testimonies. He swore he got his head cut off. He said, my departure's at hand. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Finish my course. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord's going to give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all also that love his appearing. Well, I would say the Apostle Paul was faithful unto his dying breath. For three reasons, he was faithful to the fight. We're at war. We get reminded of that pretty often, you know. Sometimes you don't even have to leave the house to know you're at war. I'm not talking about fighting with your wife. I used to preach a revival sermon, still do, and I used to preach Psalm 138. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. And I would say, hey, you could be sitting next to the devil and you can still have revival. And the women folk got mad at me. They thought I was talking about their husbands. So I had to change that a little bit. He said, I fought a good fight. Let's remember, we're to endure hardness as a good soldier. We're to put on the armor of God. We got an internal battle with two natures. That old nature's not converted. And it'll still kick up its heels, try to pull us in the wrong direction. And we've got a battle with the world. He said, I fought a good fight. He said, I was faithful to the fight. I was faithful to the faith. We heard about that. The faith once delivered into the saints. I'm going to tell you, you don't have to depart from this book. Help us to stay in the book. I like what my friend Brother Roloff used to say. This book doesn't need to be rewritten. It needs to be reread. Yeah, that right. And then he said, I was faithful to the finish. He gave me my first breath. I'll give him my last. Oh, help us. I was running a meeting down in Winchester, Virginia. I go there pretty often. A few years back, three of the men in the church came to me, and they all worked at the same factory, and they gave me a man's name and said, please pray for him. He's a Christian, but he's away from the Lord, and we've been after him, and he's promised to come to the services this week. After every service, he came to me. Said, pray for him. On Thursday night, they came to me right before the service and said, he's here tonight. And you'll get to meet him. So, after the service, they took me back to him. And so, I'm talking to him. And during the conversation, he looked at me and he said, you know, he said, I used to be like you. I said, how's that? Oh, he said, I used to be involved, and I was on staff in a Fundamental Baptist Church, charge of soul winning, and the children's ministry, and the bus ministry, and those were great days. Knowing better, I said, well, is that what you're doing now? No. He said, I don't even hardly go to church anymore. I said, good night, what happened? He said, my pastor was my best friend. And he ran off with a woman in the church. I wasn't being funny. I asked the obvious question. Was it your wife he ran off with? No. It was another. My wife and I are still together. I said, no, let me see if I got this straight. Your pastor fell into sin and you quit on God. Well, he said, I wouldn't even put it like that. I said, well, how will you put it? How else could you put it? Huh? You're not the first guy that got a cannonball in the gut. That happens right regular in the ministry. Huh? About everybody you read in the Bible. They had those kinds of things happen to them. Guys pastoring churches, we've seen it. We've seen adultery we've had to deal with and all that kind of stuff. That doesn't mean we've got a right to quit. No. No, not faithful to his dying breath. I want to be. Don't you? I got an excerpt out of Dr. J.M. Carroll's book, The Trail of Blood. Every Christian will read that about once a year. He said concerning the period of 30 to 500 A.D., concerning the church, he used the word Christian religion. He wrote that book back in the 1800s. He said this: under the strange but wonderful impulse and leadership of John the Baptist, the eloquent man from the wilderness, and under the loving touch and miracle working power of Christ himself, and the marvelous preaching of the 12 apostles and their immediate successors, Christianity spread mightily during the first 500-year period. They tell me, by the way, that within 6 months after the day of Pentecost, there's 25,000 believers in Jerusalem. Somebody's busy. However, it left a terribly bloody trail behind it. Judaism and paganism bitterly contested every forward movement. John the Baptist was the first of the great leaders to give up his life. His head was taken off. Soon after him went the Savior himself. He died on the cross, the cruel death of the cross. Following their Savior in rapid succession fell many other martyred heroes. Stephen was stoned. Somebody said, no, he wasn't. He was rocked to sleep. Matthew was slain in Ethiopia. Mark dragged through the streets until dead. Luke hanged. Peter and Simeon were crucified. Andrew tied to a cross. James beheaded. Philip crucified and stoned. Bartholomew flayed alive. Thomas pierced with lances. James the less thrown from the temple and beaten to death. Jude shot to death with arrows. Matthias stoned to death. And Paul beheaded. More than 100 years had gone by before all this had happened. This hard persecution by Judaism and paganism continued for 2 more centuries. And yet, mightily spread the Christian religion. It went into all the Roman Empire, Europe, Asia, Africa, England, Wales, everywhere else where there was any civilization. You know the difference between that crowd and our crowd today? They were faithful. They were faithful to their dying breath. I was with Dr. Don Green last year, and we got to talking about Polycarp, one of the first pastors at Ephesus. I can't remember his quotes verbatim, but he was up in his 80s, and they came after him, said he's going to have to recant, or they were going to burn him at the stake. Polycarp said, all my life, I've taught about Jesus, I've followed him. And he said, what I've done with my life, I'll do with my death. And these, burn him at the stake. Dr. Green told me that they must have split him open or something, but blood poured out and put out the fire. So that's what Dr. Green said. So you take it to him if you disagree with that. The point is, Polycarp was faithful to his dying breath. Dr. Alexander Duff. Many of you probably don't know who he was. He's out of Scotland. He went to India. Spent his life as a missionary in India. He came back to Scotland, an old man, broken in health. He set up preaching meetings all across Scotland. The message was the same. It was a plea for people to surrender to go to India as missionaries. This one place, He had preached for a long, long time. And he passed out. They took him to a back room and summoned the doctor, and the doctor came. They resuscitated him, and as soon as he got his wits back, he sat up and he said, "I've got to go finish my message." The doctor said, "Well, Dr. Duff, you better not. It could kill you. You better not." "Oh," he said, "die. Oh, I'd gladly die if in so doing it would cause young people to give their lives to India." He went back to the pulpit. He said, "Fathers, have you no sons for India? Do you not care?" He said, "I do." He said, "If you won't go, I'm going to go back. I'm going to lay my bones on India's shore just so they'll know that somebody cared about them." I would say Dr. Duff was faithful to his dying breath. How about you? Huh? Are you trying to walk that line between serving God and the world? If you're even close to that line, you're in trouble. If Jimmy Green will come and help me for a minute, I'll close this thing out. We did this before at his church. There's a song in your hymnal that says, what's the name of the song? "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow." That first stanza goes like this. How's that first stanza start, Jim? "I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me." That second stanza says, "I'll go with Him through the garden. I'll go with Him through the garden." Well, what's that? Oh, that's Gethsemane. Where we go, we humble ourselves. And we die to ourselves. And we echo the prayer that Jesus prayed in Gethsemane's garden to the Father. He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." I'll go with Him to the garden. And next the stanza says, "I'll go with Him through the judgment." That's Calvary. You got to take up your cross. You got to die to self. Even if you know what God wants you to do, you can't do it without His help. Who was it that said, down in the heart of every believer, there's a room. It's called the throne room. In that throne room, there's a throne and a cross. He said, when Jesus is on the cross and self is on the throne, you're not much. And you won't accomplish anything for God. So there has to be a daily crucifixion where we put self on the cross and we put Christ on the throne in our heart. I'll go with Him through the judgment. I'll go with Him all the way. Does that have the fourth stanza in that book?
"You will give me grace."
Yeah, it's got it. Some of them don't. You know, some of them don't. Some of them don't have that last stanza. Do you know that? Yeah, well, I'm sorry to teach you that. But we're not going to give an invitation that comes later. But I want to ask you something. How serious are you about following Jesus to your dying breath, no matter what the cost. You're serious about that. Would you stand? Don't stand if you don't mean it. I'm not counting numbers in them. Just stand. Now, Jim's going to help me. And that last stanza is the key to helping us be faithful to our dying breath. Because we won't do it on our own. That's what Peter made the mistake of doing. Thinking he could do it his own, but he failed. That last stanza says, He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory and go with me all the way. And then we've got the chorus. So you help me. Let's all sing that fourth stanza. And if you mean it, if you mean it, if you're recommitting yourself
140.
to serving Him and being faithful to Him to your dying breath, let's sing that fourth stanza.
He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory and go with me,
to overlook a 75-year-old.
We will. We've already overlooked it.
Okay.
Yes. That's great, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Cole, for the privilege.
Amen. Well, we'll take a break. I don't know what else to say. Fellowship for a minute. We'll be right back in here and get ready to start the second service. All right? God bless you. We'll do that when we get back.